stop?
Maybe.
Good morning, everyone. My topic is to prove that fire is not a element. I have to prove that fire is not a matter. So, for a long period of time, many great people also believed that fire is a matter. They have a greater means illusion that they could not think of that the fire is not an element. They were thinking that fire is also contributing in addition of mass. Now, first of all, let me give you a definition of fire. At present time, fire, they define fire as the oxidation of a material producing a heat and light. So you should note that fire is producing heat. This is the basis. On basis of this, I will prove that fire is not an element. So earlier there are many theories of matter, which included the theories of fire and the heat. They were given by many great scientists like Robert Boyle, Lavoisier. He also agreed that the fire was having a matter. And they gave the theories of matter to explain the fire as a substance. So, but the theories of matter should be designed in such a way that they could provide a distinction between, at that time they thought that these theories of matter are providing a distinction between substances that are existing, that are found, and substances like materialistic substances like we can find, weight and measure, and substances which are not existing. Like I can give you an example of ether. That was a hypothetical substance, they imagined it. So they designed various theories of matter. Now till they had a very good knowledge of solids and liquids. They had a greater concept of solids and liquids as matter because they knew that about the well-defined structure of solids, their attraction, the molecules defined in the crystal lattice of solids and liquids. But the major problem for them was when they think above solid and liquid, that is something gaseous, they could not imagine about it. Everything for them looks like a chaos for them. There is a random motion of molecules that was occurring between them. So in order to clarify their doubt, they put the matter, they distinguished, there came three definitions of matter during that time. So one of the matter they defined as matter is something which one can feel. One can see and one can feel, one can perceive it. Then this was given by something, implicants. They gave this definition, which was also accepted by then the atomist. Then the second definition which they came, matter is something which is not penetrable. Means you see the matter, you cannot penetrate it, like gaseous, because they had a greater confusion about gas. So they felt that we should define matter that which will leave the concept of gas. So they defined matter which is not penetrable. But steam and paper, I should mention that they consider when they are liquefied, they can be considered a matter because they form a solid and liquid. So the third definition was given by Newton, which was more significant. He gave that matter is something which will experience gravity, which will experience feel the gravity. So it was a more general idea. So after they defined matter, there was also a very great dispute. After this, some people then became a great dispute about the whether air can be considered a matter or not. Many were disagreeing about the air considering a matter, but some agreed to it. Like Boyle. Boyle gave an experiment, I should tell it. He observed something that when we release the smoke in atmosphere, he found that the smoke always goes up. Whereas he released the smoke in an area where the atmosphere is not so denser. You think of an area where there is little vacuum type when the atmosphere is not so thin. So the smoke, he found that the level means the smoke rising is not so much in here. The smoke is losing some of its property. The smoke is not rising so much. So he means concluded that the air is denser, as we find that when you keep a object inside a water. Lighter object. The object always moves up. So he concluded that the air is denser than smoke. So through this analogy, he tries to prove that the air is a matter. But this does not give a very clear idea to everyone. A similar type of problem was also there with the fire and the heat.
people believed that the fire and the heat were considered to be matter. Even they believed that fire could be weighed also. But Newton did not agree to it. He considered fire as a matter, but he believed that fire was not a weight. It was his perception. He could not prove it, but he thought that fire could not be a weight. So in order to, again the Boyle tried to find whether fire could be weighed or not, and he tries to prove that fire can be considered to matter. So he did an experiment again. He took in a beaker a measured amount of tin. He sealed this so that no interaction can take place. He heated it. Now when he heated for some period of time, this melted, and after it melted out, he broke out this seal. So he allowed the cooling of this metal to take place after breaking the seal. So after, when he broke out the seal and when the metal cooled and when he again collected the amount, so he found that if this was something say x grams, this was found to be a quantity which is greater than x grams in very large extent. So this really made him very amazed that why this quantity is greater than this, even though I am not adding any substance to it, any not matter to it. So only source he thought that is this fire. He thought that this fire can be a source which is adding the matter to it. Boyle's experiment, Robert Boyle's. So he thought that the fire particles means they contains, he called those particles as corpuscles, the fire corpuscles. So he believed that these fire corpuscles can in some manner penetrate the glass and stick to the this metal. They are having a greater attraction towards the metal, so they go and stick to this. So these small corpuscles, when they got added to this, they found this is leading to the gain in the weight. But similar type of experiment was also performed by the Priestley and the Lavoisier. Priestley also did the same experiment. He also did the same thing, and he concluded about the phlogiston. He supported the idea of phlogiston in this. He felt that when we are heating a solid like mercury from earth, when we are extracting mercury, earth is denser, mercury we get amount is less as compared to earth. So he is saying that there is something, a thing which is getting added to it, to this mercury, so that its weight is getting decreased. And when he again heated mercury, he found calx was similar, he considered to, as compared to earth, was similar to earth. So he heated this, he got mercury. Now when he heated again, he got again calx. So he felt that when I am heating the mercury, I am again getting calx, which is heavier than this. So there is removal of something which is making it heavier. So he gave the idea of phlogiston, the negative mass. Now similar thing was done by Lavoisier. Lavoisier did not believe this, that the negative mass could exist. So he means, he disproved the idea of phlogiston given by Priestley. He felt that there is something within this vessel. Means he got his main clue from the experiment of Robert Boyle, during which I referred that he broke the seal. So as one can think that if he would have not broken the seal, if he would have kept the substance on the tin, sealed it, and then measured it, consider this would have been x grams. Now he had heated it, melted, he has not broken the seal. So before breaking the seal, if he had measured, it would have been almost similar to x. Say there will be small slight variation. So one will find that there will be not much addition of mass during heating. But since he has broken up, so Lavoisier got the clue that there is something here in the beaker which is leading to the addition of the mass here. But he was not very clear about this idea, that what is that substance. So he was not very much sure about this, but so he could not prove that the fire is not a matter. So still till that time everyone believed that fire is a matter. So let me take a jump now from here. Please remember that I consider fire is similar to a heat. Fire gives rise to heat. Now I am giving you an example which will differentiate our heat with temperature. So consider 60 meters. This is containing lukewarm water, this is containing cold water, this is containing hot water. You immersed your hands first in cold water and then in hot water. You will get signal that this is cold, this is hot. But you, after immersing it, you immerse the same hands in the lukewarm water. You will get contradicting signals given by two hands. The hand which is in cold water will feel this warm, and which is in hot water, which is higher temperature, will feel this cold. So, we say that the temperature gives certain reference towards the measurement of heat. But this can also lead us to misleading thing that here one can get misled due to this experiment. Now, I can give you another reason. Now consider a body. Now I will try to prove that through this experiment, I will try to prove that heat can be considered a substance. So consider two bodies. One is hot, one is cold. I am by any means making it their contact. So after the experiment, one will find that both the bodies are at thermal equilibrium, both the bodies, the temperature are same. Now you can consider this is experiment was similar to a water. During that time, when they performed this experiment, they considered similar to a water flowing from higher level to lower level. So if this is a higher level, this is a lower level, water always flows in this direction. This is similar to this. Hot body can be considered to be at the higher level of water, cold body can be considered to a lower level of water. And they consider, so water was flowing to this, so they consider heat similar to a water. They found that water is a substance, so they consider heat to a similar to water, so say they concluded by some experiment that heat can also be a substance. Through this. Now, if you consider a mercury, this definition I am giving with respect to specific heat, if you consider a mercury and water, no. Another experiment which you do, which one will feel that heat can be considered a substance, you consider some quantities of water in a beaker, you are heating it. Now you added more amount of water, and you are getting to 100 degrees Celsius, the boiling point. Now added more amount of water to this. So, now more amount of heat we require in order to raise the, means in order to boil this water up to 100 degrees Celsius. So, means they thought that we are adding a greater amount of substance to this, greater amount of heat to it. So, they consider a greater amount of substance. There is an addition of something which is taking place inside this and which is making the rise of water to 100 degrees Celsius, temperature of water to rise to 100 degrees Celsius. So, we are adding something. So they consider this analogy similar to a mass. Some mass is getting like added to this something. So they consider that the heat can be considered to a substance. Now similar type of experiment also came regarding specific heat. We say that if we heat mercury and water, mercury gains temperature, higher temperature very quickly than water. So specific heat, we say that mercury is very less. It requires less amount of heat. Since through these experiments, their analogy was clear that they thought that water heat is a substance. So during that time, they defined specific heat in terms of a thing like this means if you take any substance of 1 gram, any matter of 1 gram. Now, if you are providing a heat which they consider a substance. If we providing the heat, which is a substance, to this, this substance will lead to rise in temperature from 1 degree Celsius to rise in temperature by 1 degree Celsius. So they are defining specific heat in terms of heat, but they consider here heat as a substance. But similar experiments were also held by various other people. So now finally what they found is that one scientist, I don't remember the name actually, when he measured a red hot ball and a ball which is cold, he found that the weight were almost same. But till that time, they had a feeling that the heat is a substance. So, he told that, means heat is having a, heat is a substance, but his heat is having a mass which is weightless, which is not so considerable. So he considered heat to be a caloric substance, calorific substance, the dilatory substances, then weightless substances. It is having a weight zero. So till that time, they are considering the heat is a caloric substances which is having a weight zero. Now the substance theory, the theory which they proposed to say that the heat is a substance, it is a substance theory which was supported by many great scientists like Robert Boyle and Lavoisier also, etc. Through substance theory, they found that almost all the phenomena which are occurring, like these are experiments I told, they are able to explain the heat, means explain to about the natural phenomena which are occurring here, and through this they are finding that they are explaining that the heat is a substance. But there was a major breakthrough which took place, which was done by the Count Rumford, which provided a great conceptual change to our mind that heat is not a substance. He performed the same thing. Now, for proving that heat is not a substance, what he did is the following. He said that any substance till that time, what they believe, any substance is a thing which they believe that which can neither be destroyed nor be created. Like I told you earlier that they consider heat to be similar to mass, because they found that heat was also having the additive property. We are adding some heat to this, so that's what temperature is. They found similar to mass. So that with reference to mass, they told that they believe that the fire or air, we had earlier believed that fire or air, the water, they are all elements. Lavoisier proved earth and air is not an element, but he still believed the fire to be an element. So they believed fire is having some mass, which is also considered a zero, which they later proved that it is a caloric substance, it is having a zero mass. But still they believed that the fire is similar to a mass, which they believed that it can neither be created nor be destroyed. So what Count Rumford told that let me now consider fire, let me now he defined substance that in such a manner, substance is a thing which can neither be created nor destroyed. So he gave an example that primitive man used to burn the stones and they produce fire. This was the main motivation for him to think that how it is possible. The fire was created with the burning of the stone. Now when this question was arose, the substance, the people who believed in the substance theory, who supported that the fire is a substance, now they specified that they explained that when we are rubbing anything, there is a dislocation of atoms taking place. The atoms are getting disturbed. The atoms which are present in the wood might get disturbed in such a manner that their arrangement might change, which might lead to the change in the specific heat. They knew that the specific heat is due to the nature of substance, which might lead to the permanent nature of specific heat. They said that while rubbing, the whole quantity of heat which is present inside the wood is still remaining constant, and this unchanged quantity of heat is leading rise to temperature, and this temperature rise is due to the means is accompanied with the change in the specific heat of the substance due to the atoms getting is dislocated, or atoms getting disturbed, due to which the specific heat of the substance will change permanently. So Count Rumford, what he told that if I will prove that the substance are having the constant specific heat throughout all the temperature, it is dependent only upon the nature of metal, then the substance theory will be completely disproved. As for the substance theory, the specific heat will change as the temperature rises. So Count Rumford was a soldier in Napoleon army. He saw a gun, the cannon, where the loading cannon was loaded for firing. He observed one thing: when someone was loading a cannon ball,
and through he observed that the cannon ball, the cannon guns, they made of some material, they are get heated up. Now, as everyone know, when we shoot a gun, there is something metal pieces which are left out. The metal pieces are thrown away. The bullet goes out. The residue material. Now, when the cannon was shoot out, we found that the gun, where the gun was at a very high temperature. Even he means through experiment, he found that the temperature was even greater than the boiling of water. So, and he observed that while the cannon was going out, some metal strips were fallen out. So, this made him to think about it. So, what he knew that the heat was a substance. So, he believed that this change in the heat of the gun, which is taking place, must be is a huge change in heat. Amount of heat has been produced. So, he felt that this heat change which has been taking place must be taken up. Must be due to the change in the specific heat. It might have occurred that the specific heat must have changed drastically, which accounted for the drastic change in the heat. But what he found that when he conducted an experiment, that such change did not happen. The specific heat did not change. He found that the specific heat of this metal strip and the similar type of material he took, which is similar to this metal clip which was thrown out, they are found to have the same specific heat. So what experiment he conducted is that he took the X grams of X quantities of this, X grams of these metal which are thrown out. Now he took similar X grams of the material of which this is made. He kept them in the boiling water. So they were heated up to the same temperature. Now what he did, he kept those after boiling, he kept those in the cold water. Two different cold waters. And try to observe the change. When he means consider a thermometer he used. Now, I don't know how did he measure or some perception he did by hand. When he something used an instrument for measuring this, he found that in both the cases the temperature of water change is not a very is not so is not a large difference is there in between the temperature change. If this is something X, this is much closer to X because heat transfer has taken place, he knew all that, but he found that this temperature change is not up to a very great extent between these two. If this is X, this is also similar to X. So through this experiment he concluded that means this metal clip is also having the same specific heat capacity as this material if we take. So through this experiment he concluded that the friction. Here the heat is being produced by the friction. Through this experiment he concluded that the friction which is producing heat, the heat is not ending. If we consider a heat as a substance, then there would be some exhaustion taking place because the matter would finally end. But he found that through the friction the heat is being continuously produced out. It is not getting exhausted. So, he concluded that obviously the heat is being continually produced out, and with the assumption that the heat can neither, fire can neither be created nor be destroyed if they consider a substance, similar to heat can neither be created nor substance, but here heat was here being continuously produced out due to the friction. So he told that if the heat is being continuously produced out by the substance due to friction, so without any limitation, we are not providing any limitation to it, just rubbing, again the heat is being produced out. So obviously the substance which is being produced out cannot be a materialistic substance because it is being continuously created. So he felt that this cannot be a materialistic substance. Now once he proved that a heat is not a substance, I earlier also specified that fire produces heat. If you consider atom produces molecule, he proved that molecule is not a matter. Since fire produces heat, so fire constitute heat. If this cannot exist, this cannot be a substance, this cannot also be a means a matter to it, because small thing leads to the formation of the greater things. Small atoms lead to the formation of molecule addition. If this molecule is not existing, how this atom can have a matter?
See, fire produces both heat and light.
Yes.
So if light is a matter, then fire is a matter.
Light, they came to know much later after Newton.
But till that time
they did not have a concept of light.
And we can let fire as some matter also and not matter also. So fire is not a matter.
Oh, it's not
Fire is not a substance.
Completely
you cannot say. But we gave a hint that fire is not a substance. Hinting only. They got this analogy that the fire cannot be a substance. So this is they got some clue that fire then cannot, if cannot be a substance, then it cannot be an element also. It can exist. This pound round four.
So, did he say that the heat was due to friction?
No, he knew that something. But something means he is not providing some external source. He is
not
providing.
Actually, while we fire a gun or maybe it's the
gunpowder pellet, one bomb, was being a thing. But he specified thing that when the cannonball was loaded, the gun became warm. He found this, that he observed this, the cannon bomb became warm. Yes, he found this, cannon bomb became warm. So, and after the...
That's what he was saying. It could be because of the gunpowder.
So, but gunpowder is after getting... Okay, I agree, after shooting. After shooting. But he found something amazing that... while I'm loading, I'm not producing any. I'm not producing, giving any heat. And if I'm burning the gunpowder, it's producing heat. But while loading, it is getting heated. I'm not providing any external source to it. There might be something internal property which is taking place, which we today had called as friction, which is leading to the heating of the gun. So this gave him some clue that. Heat is produced due to some internal property here happening, which is occurring here. And after gun was loaded out, he found that a tremendous amount of heat is being changed. So, and through this he observed that, as he knew till that time that specific heat is responsible. This when we rub something, as the substance theory tell that when we rub something, the dislocation of atoms takes place due to which the specific heat might change. So till that time they were having the knowledge that when we rub something, the specific heat gets changed up. So after getting heat, he thought that the specific heat might change up and heat might have produced. But through this experiment he found that this one was having the same specific heat as when it was original, when it was produced from the original material that in this experiment. So he concluded that the specific heat change is not contributing to the change in the producing of heat. So he felt that there is something taking place which is continuously producing the heat.
Are there any other teaching experiments?
I have not found anything.
Sir, I have been able to do with fires and everything. But maybe you can find some other things in there. Another object. As we know, so that could be a more possessed in the tradition. Hence, we put that similar way that one is not. Yes, something else. So, how do you do that? So, I suggest an experiment. Take a beaker, measure its temperature. Take something to rub against the beaker. Take the weight of the rubbing substance also. Take the rate of the beaker as well as the water. So the only thing that changes is the temperature before and after. So that way you could say that at least the temperature has increased.
Yes.
None of them lost any mass.
They were doing the same experiment and they concluded that we are adding the heat. They heated.
So we could say that so they run the glass, not the whatever I am using to rub the stuff. There was not as gained any mass or lost any mass. And so you can say that at least what you can make in this process very clear is that friction produces heat. That is very well known. That's part of the flow. So now we can prove that there is no mass that is producing this.
Yeah.
That, that change. So let's go to the master of mass
or anything. That is also important. It's average, marketing, we can, this also we can tell them, mass is zero, but there is a
substance.
So, one,
so
this one, this one only will tell you that there is a gap here.
That's
what is, what is not clear from these experiments so far is that how is the calorie hypothesis?
It means through this experiment people get some analogy that fire cannot be a
substrate. No, I don't think it was simple analogy.
No,
after that.
So it was so clearly demonstrated that calorie is not there. It's not mere interpretation.
Yes.
One second, I think. No, just listen to
Abhishek has opened up this discussion.
Yes.
Okay. And now what we have to do is, we have to get together all the relevant information, collaborate with them, and complete the story. Okay? So, let's do it. All of you edit this page. Okay, add up this whole information. And you know, put together all the information about all the experiments and everything for the inside. Okay? So I think with that, I think we will stop this discussion. As you can see, I mean, this is a very important thing. And we can see how quickly our school education has jumped without even telling such an important story like this. Because it's very important for every student to understand something like this. I can tell you that a lot of people don't know how fire was started as an element. So let's make sure that one of the take-home points of this class will be that all of us will be completely clear how fire was started as an element. So it requires that, you know, all of us collaborate with me, write that thing, make sure that this whole thing is very, very clear.
So is there any experiment considering light is not an element?
That's an important thing as well. Of course,
because
people try to do that. For example, that's precisely what, for example, Maxwell and Einstein have worked all their life. The nature of light was sort of fixed the thing. So that was a very important aspect as well. But in fact, a lot of people would say that this issue cannot be resolved unless you also prove that light is not an element.
Because while I was doing this, if
light is an element, okay, well, okay, light is an element, but what kind of element it is? Which doesn't have mass. So that also has to be proved. I see it. So it's only when all these things are together that we gave up fire as an element.
So
this entire narrative requires you to add a story about light. You have to know about combustion, fire, heat, friction, the idea of calorie. So all of this has to come into the discussion. So I teach. So let's work on this whole thing. There is one book written by J.P. Conant. You can take the name J.P. Conant. He did a case study, or at least he has edited a series of case studies from history of science, and one of them was on the topic of how calorie, the hypothesis of calorie was overthrown. So if you put it all together, then we'll be able to work out. So should we switch, because otherwise the last person will get on.
Discuss the three very classical experiment in physics. Means one was Young's double slit experiment, which proved the wave nature of light. Means conceptual change was after 100 years. Means there was for 100 years Newton's Copernican's theory was dominant, and after that that theory was second. Means wave nature of light was proved. The second experiment I want to discuss is Arthur Compton experiment, by which the particle nature of light is proved. And the third experiment is Davison-Germer experiment, by which I will prove the wave nature of matter. And particle nature of matter already means. Young's double slit experiment. Means we need some basic knowledge that. Yeah, for Young's double slit means there are two types of sources, coherent sources and non-coherent sources. So basically coherent sources are those sources from which means the phase difference between the sources is constant, means it is not changing with time. and the non-coherent sources are that sources in which phase difference is changing with time. Means in, if there is coherent sources, then you can produce constructive interference and destructive interference by taking appropriate path difference. And if there is non-coherent source, then their phase difference are since changing with time. That if we try to overlap them or interfere them, then we will get a type of average intensity. Means that is what happened when you lit up two torch and put in the wall, then their whole intensity got added up, means it is like that. But in coherent sources, if you will, there will be appropriate path difference, then you can show constructive interference and destructive interference. So what Young's did was he took one source and there was two hole from it. So then if there is single source, then phase difference means will be always. So means he took one source and split it into two sources. And then there was one wall, and in that there was fringes, means if constructive interference there was light, then there was dark. Then again like this band was forming. So this was the Young's double slit experiment. And the part difference which was means like this. Source was like this. So there was part difference and something like this means part difference, that is d sine theta. If this is the d, so means this length which is extra. The path length of this thing, that is means this thing which is extra, if this thing is equal to that path difference, means the length of path which it travels with respect to, if this is equal to n lambda, that is wavelength of that light source, then constructive interference means is there. And if it is equal to n plus 1 lambda by 2, then there is destructive interference. Should I go?
No, that is fine.
He was not anticipating this. He just this and means he after
fine.
That.
The experiment was fine, but then did he do just one experiment? Can you tell me what are the changes that you do? The distance, for example, even the distance between the states, you also change the pattern irrespective of any length of the states, because it depends on the quality of light, so if you use a different quality of light then the distance has to be different. So it is only then you can get to know all these things. So see, the entire experiment requires you to do a lot of these variations. Any experiment requires the entire system. So that is also important. So the quality of the source,
quality.
Is it known to you what are the wavelength of the light?
It was monochromatic light that time.
It means that you know it.
So
what is the point of having monochromatic light? That means you know the wavelength of it.
We know the wavelength.
Right.
That I know.
And then you correlated that with the distance between the sticks.
No, we
don't know
the
wavelength.
No means? This
is the case that of this experiment you found out the wavelength.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We didn't know it at all. Yes, with no matter we can't find the wavelength of it. We double simply can find because we can find the
design.
Yes.
So the question then would be, how do we know the wavelength of the light? How does it measure?
Sir, I think, sir, after the experiment, the fringes came and then he measured the distances and from, I don't know that whether he was lying, but from here we can calculate by measuring the distance between the
fringes. This experiment. Do we know, for example, that the light is a red?
No.
So the question of whether there is a wavelength, how would we know that?
No means, sir, earlier some Newton's and Huygens gave their principle. Means the Young's experiment was after 100 years. That was not experiment, means, but there was something, means that it may have particle nature or wave nature. But it was the experimental proof that it has wave nature. But there was some idea that it has both properties.
Which was the first experimental proof?
This, Young's.
Therefore, there was no question that they would already know.
No, but they explained.
We know post hoc. But since it is monochromatic, we know that it has its, that having the same thing.
Yes.
That's a post hoc
interpretation. But you use sunlight of it. You use sunlight of
it. But then sunlight is
a. And you, many things you measured also.
See, they were knowing the superposition of waves of water. Means that water superimposed and all the theory of that kind was known. So Mangabe, he might have thought, I am not sure that whether, but he might have thought that if light has a wave nature, then I should perform this experiment with this, may be the motivation behind it. And there was lots of fuss also that whether it is particle or so. And the second experiment which I want to discuss is after quantum scattering. Means I can only give the qualitative idea of this experiment because I also not understood the theoretical part of it. But it was recently in 1923 only. This was the first experimental proof, means that light is a particle. Means photoelectric effect was also there, but Einstein explained, means this was the experimental proof that light is a particle. In this, what happens that if there is electron and if some gamma rays or X-rays comes, they then just strike and goes in this direction and these photons, and after that the wavelength is increased, lambda this is greater than the lambda of initial wavelength which we throw. This is because that the energy, it imparted some energy to this. So the energy of photon is decreased and so the wavelength of this photon is increased. And also means there was electron was coming like this, and if gamma rays was like this, then electron by detector they found out that electron then goes to something like that, and gamma rays went like this. And this momentum is also conserved. By this I only want to say that momentum is also conserved. So this was the experiment done by Compton in 1923. And I didn't understand much, but it was written that low intensity Compton scattering can only be explained if we assume that they are particles, photons which are coming. But I couldn't understand what is low intensity Compton scattering. But it was written like that. but the basic idea is the same only. One more important thing is that if we bombard X-ray to a means nucleus or something like that, then if the same X-ray, when the energy is high, the same X-ray results in photoelectric effects. And if it is low, then it results in Compton scattering. And if it is further more high, then something like pair production comes, in which one electron and positron are formed. So this is the basic idea of Arthur Compton experiment.
But you're jumping too much. Because I mean, at the time when Arthur Compton was doing, for example, there was no Feynman diagram.
Yes, sir.
There was no positron.
Yes.
So there was too much of a jump. So always when you're doing state science, you should put it here. Like, you should try to put yourself at that time with the limited knowledge that that person has. Only then you'll be able to appreciate, you know, what did they achieve. So you are using the current knowledge.
No, means sir, yes. Arthur Compton scattering I explained. But in that also I read that the same X-ray results in photo, if the energy is high.
But that is,
the
same experiment can lead to so many things.
Yes.
But that is only if, you know, you are using the current place interface.
Yes.
But not at that time, right? So, Doctor has no idea about that.
Yes, sir.
So, exactly what was the experiment? What was the experiment?
Exactly, this was the experiment.
So after the experiment, what did he eat? So he got the thing that there was there?
No, he observed that wavelength was increased.
Wavelength was increased? So
yes,
there is a difference in the wavelength.
Yes, sir.
And that is what his observation is.
Yes, sir.
So the observation was that there is a change in the wavelength.
Change in the wavelength.
And then his interpretation was it's possibly because
energy is.
If it is a particle,
energy.
It would lose some momentum. And therefore, it would have led to that kind of change.
Yes, sir.
So that was the interpretation.
Yes, sir.
So we have one more experiment, right?
Yes, sir. So means this experiment proved that light behaves as a particle also. And the last experiment which I want to discuss is Davison-German experiment, which proved that almost everything can behave as waves and particles. Far before Davison did his experiment, de Broglie gave his hypothesis of de Broglie wavelength. He gave his hypothesis that means anything can be act as waves or particles. By this, by the de Broglie wavelength, if you find the wavelength of a baseball of mass 144 gram and something 27 meter per second, 27 kilometer per hour, if there is a speed, then the lambda comes out from here is 1.75, means lambda is equal to h by c, de Broglie wavelength. So lambda was 1.75 into 10 to the power minus 34 meter, which is means very small, means we cannot observe the wave nature of baseball. But if we take the electron, means de Broglie gave his hypothesis, and by this formula, if we find out the wavelength of electron with kinetic energy 120 electron volt and mass is that mass of electron, then lambda of electron comes out to be 1.12 into 10 to the power minus 10 meter. So it is something near around means the size of nucleus, the lambda of electron. So means by this, Davison did his experiment, and somebody suggested, before the experiment, somebody suggested that we can see the wave properties of electron. Means wave properties of other object is not possible to see, but maybe we can see. So the apparatus of Davison-German was, there was nickel crystal below and there was filament, and that electron were bombarded, and he found out that at 54 volt, when the V acceleration was 54 volt, then at theta is equal to 50 degree, means from this line, theta is equal to 50 degree, means large number of electrons are detected. So he concluded that this may be a constructive interference, means he thought that. Then by a formula, means if you take the basic structure of nickel, then these are the nickel atoms. And if the light strike like this, if the light has strike like this and then it goes like this, and this is phi. So the path difference, which means here distance between this nickel was known. Distance between the atoms of nickel was known. So we can find out the path difference between the two lights. So by this he used the same de Broglie wavelength, lambda is equal to h by p, and by that he predicted that 1.67 angstrom should be the wavelength of that. And then by Bragg's equation, means that earlier d sin theta is equal to n lambda. So he assumed that this is constructive interference, so that d sin theta, that is path difference, is equal to n lambda. By that he measured, it was coming out to be 1.65 angstrom. So there was a means match between them. Actually the proof of wave nature of matter was also done by Thomson also 1 year later. I don't know about what he did, but Nobel Prize is shared between both. Division experiment also and Thomson scattering also. That matter act like a wave. That's it.
Yeah, we have to take one more the historical description that you have tried to give is something that I think you should try to avoid. Apart from that, how do you share this research to others? I mean, this is a question not only to you, to others as well. So that others will be able to prepare on what you have done. So, what is your proposal? Like, see, all of you have to study this for a topic, right? So, like, if you have any doubts on these things, you have to discuss with me. But there must be some way how, apart from physical interaction, there must be some way how you would be able to access them. So that means those resources that he has used should be made available to the rest, such that others could also read about them, study those things. So one way of doing that would be, if you have an article or if you have something, or you want to, if you have a strong item, you can upload it on the website so that others will be able to read it out. The other thing, if you have a link or a reference which others must read, then provide that link also on the website so that others could also read about it. So it's not here? Okay. So thanks. What you have to do is take a small note for me sometime, maybe when you come from that. Okay. I mean, we were not saying that please get the I think there are someone else who is also depending on this book, right?
Yes,
sir. When is this?
Next
week. Next week, the last week. Okay, so what you do is, you give this book to him also, actually. And you are going to return this book. Amit has issued on his name. Okay? So I will give a note. So that if you have any problem taking this book out, you take my gate pass. Because they choose the number if you are going to take this book.
Sir?